Hello, Divorce and Beyond family. I've got some exciting news because we have teamed up with Headspace to guide you toward better mental health. With Headspace's meditation, mindfulness tools, and mental health support, you're set for a journey to a happier, healthier you. And there's more, because if you sign up through our exclusive link, you'll enjoy 2 weeks of Headspace membership for free. So don't miss out on this opportunity to embrace your well-being. You can check out the show notes for the link, or just go to divorcebeyond.com/Headspace-Susan, and you'll be able to start your path to peace and joy today. This is just one more way that we can support you on your journey to a better beyond.
Coming up on today's episode of the Divorce and Beyond podcast.
It is not the hours, and we can unpack why it is not down to the minute why 50-50 is going to blow your little kid's mind into perfection. It is because when that kid knows that both his mom and dad are in it to win it, when a kid knows that both of his parents are equally committed to him, it mitigates the anxiety that a parent is going to leave.
Hello, and welcome to the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. As a top divorce attorney and family law mediator for 30 years, I know what you need to know to get through your divorce, and most importantly, how to move beyond it to thrive and transition to your new future. My experts and I are here to give you the insider view into the process, so listen in for the wisdom and expert information you need on your journey through divorce and beyond. Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. And listeners, today I have a very special guest. She has been a friend and a colleague in this world of divorce and families restructuring for a number of years. But recently, she just wrote her book, The 50-50 Solution. And I know some of you out there are going, but Susan, you always say our children aren't a timeshare, 50-50 percentages. Wait until you hear the episode, folks, all right? I want you to understand where Emma is coming from and the end result of, I mean, she has done an incredible amount of research and advocacy into this particular topic of what helps families live a happier and healthier life after divorce. And it is the 50-50 solution. So first, Emma, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for, I know this was like, you know, really like your life's passion to write this book.
It was a lot of work, not all joyful hours, but I do feel very called to do this work. The academics have done so much incredible work on behalf of families and moms and dads for decades. I felt like I could help the cause in bringing this to the mass audiences. So thank you for helping with that.
Well, I think it's important for everyone to understand the concepts of what we're talking about today, because the name of the book is The 50-50 Solution, but then the tagline is the surprisingly simple choice that makes moms, dads, and kids happier and healthier after divorce. And I know every single word of that tagline was very carefully chosen. I've seen people work through. And, you know, I think that's the key and the important part here, right? That this is a choice, and what it ends up with are happier participants and families, and most importantly, the children in that post-divorce or post-separation life. So, you know, why is this even sort of such a revolutionary idea? You've been sort of butting your head into this for years now. I've been a practitioner in the family law field for long enough to remember, you know, when I first started practicing, it was every other weekend and one night for dinner during the week, right? That was the norm. And we've made strides forward from that. But in many places, this concept of equal shared parenting is still new and revolutionary. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think one, people get we get stuck in habits, right? So I know that when I came to my divorce, and even today, and that was years ago at this point, you just have this understanding of what divorce is going to look like. My point of reference was divorce when I was a kid, my parents divorce all around me, what my lawyers were suggesting. I was not in a position to be like a social revolutionary when I was going through a crisis. I was just trying to get through the day. And I was like, okay, give me the program. I'll do the program. And the program was one night or two nights a week, my kids went with their dad, right? And so you just kind of sign up for that. Now, that I spent a lot of time in the book helping people understand where that comes from. Now, if you talk to a lot of advocates, they're like, well, it's because family lawyers are so greedy. This is true. They would say because women are just a bunch of controlling, rah, rah, rah. And you know, there's some truth to that. Or they'll say the mom, actually moms, oh, well, the dads are lazy and they don't want to take care of their kids because they want to go out and party. Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of truth to that. It's a complicated mess. But really, I think that it's really rooted in really excellent child behavioral psychology from the 1950s, right? So I spent a lot of time talking about how this whole idea of attachment parenting, this idea that kids, babies, newborns bond with one parent. There's this biological chemical thing that happens between that one parent, which we all know is going to be the mommy, right? Typically, and that is such a precious and important biological, neurological bond that it should be placed above all else. Now, that was cutting edge science at the time in our grandparents' day. Right.
Yeah.
There is just troves of research that is settled science now. If you talk to academics, you talk to psychologists that know what they're talking about, they will tell you that babies, newborns, children, toddlers, nursing newborns bond with moms and dads biologically, and men's psychology and biology and chemistry and hormones change to bond with babies and newborns. And the more parenting time that an adult biologically related to that child or not, adoptive parents, grandparents, babysitters, the more time they spend with that child or newborn, the more the bonding happens. And love is infinite. It's not just moms and dads that babies bond with. They can bond with anybody, right? So I know you talk about babies not being sliced and diced because it's not just a circle of 100%. It's a circle of a bazillion percent. Like this baby can experience infinite love, right? And the scientists are constantly researching this. This now applies to newborns. Overnights are okay. And we know that the more time that dads, even if they were not a very involved parent during a relationship or a marriage, the more time they spend, the more they connect, the better dads they are, the more they just have to go through it. So anyway, so that's the science. And then the 50-50 part comes into we know, so for decades now, we have known that the child outcomes when kids spend a chunk of time, for years, researchers were looking at separate families. They're looking at families where there was a minimum of 35% time with a parent, right? Because there simply weren't 50-50 families. There just weren't enough of them to make meaningful studies. So even with that limited research, the academics were finding that with a minimum of that 35% of time, the child outcomes, they were superior to sole time households, or like when, you know, in every other weekend situation, the child outcomes were just almost just as good as when the parents were married and living together.
Happily.
Right? Right? Right. It's amazing. It's like mind blowing, right? So with academic outcomes, physical, mental health, long-term relationships, early sexual behaviors, like on and on and on. It's great for kids. And why is it so good for kids? Well, one of the biggest risks of parent separation, or when parents live apart, is that the dads are not going to be involved. And fatherlessness and lack of father involvement is the risk factor that we have to mitigate. And Dr. Fabricius, Bill Fabricius, I know you're familiar with him. He's one of the leading researchers in this space and a wonderful, like he's the best. He's a child psychologist and he's been working on this issue for years. And his most recent research is finding the importance of that 50-50 number. And it is not so much the hours. It is not the hours. And we can unpack why it is not down to the minute why 50-50 is going to blow your little kid's mind into perfection. It is because when that kid knows that both his mom and dad are in it to win it, when a kid knows that both of his parents are equally committed to him, it mitigates the anxiety that a parent is going to leave. That kid stops worrying that his dad's going to leave him.
Right.
And that also signals to the dad that he's important. Because when you're told that, oh, you're only good enough for 20% or 30, or my least favorite percentage is 45%, is so stupid. If you're doing that, you are malicious and greedy, mom. Like, there is no place for 45%. So if he's 45% dad, he is humiliated. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or if he should just step up and man up, whatever. He is humiliated and he is not going to participate statistically as much as if he were recognized by the courts, by the families, by the child, by his larger society, that he is an important parent, important man, important person in our society.
I see so many parents, and you and I've had this discussion before. This isn't the first time we've talked about this topic, folks. Yeah. You know, I have practiced in this area for a very long time. I've seen the shift and sort of that assumption that, and will be sort of gender specific because the generalization was we had earning dad, stay-at-home mom. And so mom was the best parent and the children should be. Dad was marginalized down to that weekend sort of parent. And that's how it should be. That was sort of the concept. And then now we've gotten to a place where what I hear most often from parents is that 50-50 is fair. That's what's fair. And see, I see you shaking your head. And I think it's really important. I want my listeners to understand the distinction that's being made here. Because when you talk about 50-50 being fair, frankly, what we're talking about is you as parents feeling that you're getting a fair share of your children's time, which is not what we're concerned about so much as your children, right? I'm always talking about, and the court loves to talk about best interests of the children. Mm-hmm. You're actually talking about here is what is best for the children, the best outcomes for the children. It's not based upon being fair. It's based upon best outcomes for the parties involved.
Equal parenting is best interest of the children. Equal 50-50 schedules are in the best interest of the children. And I will say it is partly because it is fair, right? Because we are dealing with complicated, nuanced humans who want justice, because this is a human rights issue, right? So going back to the whole idea of one of the common questions I often get, it's like, well, okay, indulge me here. I told this story. So I gave a talk at, I won't name the company, but it was one of the giant global tech companies that is driving the stock market over the last 30 years. And they had like this group of breadwinning women. So these are, you know, highly educated, highly successful women. And I came in and gave my talk about it, right? About this very topic. And after I'm like, I laid out all the research, like I haven't even touched on it here, but they had to indulge me and listen to all the research, all the facts, all the science. And at the end, I got someone raised their hand and his mom's like, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I'm getting divorced and my husband doesn't do a good job of rinsing the dish detergent off of the dishes when he's cleaning up. Don't you think I should have majority time with the kids? I'm like, did you just, I was paying attention here. The whole idea, though, is when women start using the language, well, I don't think I should give him, or I will give him. It is not yours to give. That is a human that has their own, your child is a human with their own rights, their own autonomy, even though they need care for 18 years. That child has their own rights. And one of their basic human rights is to be parented by their parents. That is not, they are not entitled to good parents. They're entitled to safety. They're entitled to good public education, which they're not getting. They're entitled to basic health care, which they don't get in the United States anyways. They are not entitled to good or better parenting. The state in the United States is not in the business of moving children around to a marginally better home. We stopped relocating Native children to boarding schools to re-educate them because that's better. That is not how contemporary society operates. That is a human rights violation when children are not given an opportunity to be parented by their parents, and the parents have a right to parent their own children, and you can't do that every other weekend. So this is fair. It is social justice on that level. That's not the whole story, though, right? Ultimately, the science wins. We are living in an unprecedented time of social science, and we are obliged to default to that, right? So back to what's fair or whatever, and yeah, things are not going to be 50-50. We're not going to divide the kids with an X-Acto knife or whatever. It really, what happens when there is a spirit of 50-50, right? You split up, maybe you have to go through the court. It's 50-50. The judge is like, get out of here. You're annoying me. It's 50-50. Get out of here. What happens is it creates an enormous amount of flexibility for life, right? Somebody is deployed. We still recognize both of those parents as important, and maybe there's some augmentations when they come back from their deployment. Somebody is sick. People are dealing with an addiction issue, right? As it stands now in most of the country, somebody's dealing with mental health challenge, whatever, life crisis. People have crises all the time. Oh yeah, you had a meltdown in public. You're going to lose your kids. It's held over their head. There's zero spirit of forgiveness or grace. Everything, every misstep is punitive. But when you have a spirit of 50-50, and we are all collectively recognizing the importance of moms and dads, we're collectively recognizing each other's humanity, that that child fares best when both those parents are meaningfully in the mix. We give people space to go and heal so they can come back and be back and part of, and everybody wins. Moms, you don't get to come to me and complain, or to Susan and complain that you're overwhelmed and stressed out and burned out. You need all these special concessions as a single mom, and then fight to have your kids the majority of the time. That game's over. We're done with that now, right? Again, in the spirit of grace, I was raised, I think all of us, even younger women, there is still this presumption that moms are the primary parent. And that when you don't have that, that is very hard. That is a very real pressure I don't want to dismiss. That, and I see that all often. One friend of mine, he was a young dad. They were never married, but he and his kid's mom were co-parenting very successfully. They were just, you know, just doing it. Like, they were doing everything that you and I would hope they would do, Susan, until it came down. I don't know, something triggered her. All of a sudden, she started taking him to court and fighting for primary care. And he took her aside. He's like, what the heck's going on? We were doing this so great. What changed? And she goes, do you realize how bad it makes me look to my family and to my friends that I don't have primary care time, primary custody? And she's a human, and we have to recognize that. And that's why we do this work that we do, to help moms understand that that is being the best mom, is to give your kids their dad. And I am using that language consciously, because women do have that power. We have the majority power in family life. We don't have it in public life. We don't have all the corporate board seats, and we don't have, right, the bench seat.
Well, one of the reasons we don't have that is because we are the primary parents in most cases. So you just mentioned, right, for women, the societal pressures that they can feel here. Let's talk about, because you know the research, right? This book, folks, is research, full of research.
But hopefully so easy to read.
Research. Very easy read. I happen to be fascinated by the research, yeah. Right? I think that's what makes it such a compelling read. Because here's the thing I know. I know there are people on the other end of this microphone who are listening to this episode, and the yeah buts are in there, right? You, okay. How often do you hear yeah but? So let's talk to the women out there. Tell them what research says are the benefits to mothers of the having the spirit of 50-50.
Right. Well, I did my own research a few years ago because I wasn't finding it out there. And I surveyed 2,300 single moms about their parenting schedules and their incomes and their feelings about both of those things. And moms who have equal parenting earn more. They earn more. And they feel better about their role as a mom. They feel better about their careers. They're more proud as a mom when they have that schedule. And here's another interesting thing is I found the majority of moms overall, regardless of what schedule they actually had, they wanted 50-50, right? So maybe you're secretly craving it. Maybe you have these societal family pressures. Like, you're not alone. Like, this is happening. We can talk about that too. This is happening. You have to get on board. Your kids are not going to be fighting in family court over 55-45% schedule. That game is over.
Right.
Our grandmothers smoked and drank when they're pregnant. Okay, whatever. We don't do that anymore. We just don't. And that's not acceptable. So
maybe that's why we are the way we are.
And it wasn't just my little survey. There was a study. So Spain has been working towards equal parenting laws. So they have, I forget, like 12 provinces or something. And some of the provinces passed equal parenting presumption laws, and others didn't. So it was a really great way to study this. And they found that in the communities where it was the law, where there's a presumption of equal parenting time, the kids were doing better, but also the moms were more likely to be employed and earning, which makes sense. Of course, that's going to happen anyways, because everybody needs to pay rent and it's more expensive to have two homes. But it was more than the provinces where people were still fighting over it. So that's a given, right? Like, this is a stand, you stand to be a really powerful activist, not just for your family, but for your community and generations to come when you are modeling a better breakup. So that's the benefits, but then you also have a better dad. So dads are better dads when there's equality. And isn't this what we all want? And I know for a lot of people, and I get it, I have my own personal narrative on this too, it is impossible for you to imagine him being that dad that steps up, right? That does what he needs to take care of those kids. You're like, well, he doesn't do it. He doesn't know how to do it. Well, he probably hasn't been given the opportunity. He hasn't had to. Now he has to, right? Now he's got to make the hard decision. Is he going to go to the board meeting, or is he going to pick up a sick kid? And he has to do it, but you have to step back and let him fail. And it's hard, man. It is hard. Those are your babies.
Yeah.
You know how to do it. You already know how to do it. You know where the pediatrician's number is. You know what their favorite flavor is, a Pedialyte. You know it. Let him, give him and give your kids and yourself the gift of letting him figure that out in a loving, supportive way. And I've had dads that I interviewed for the book. They're like, look, we're married. She just knew what she was doing. And it was good. Like, she was a great mom. She was very critical of me, but I was like, okay, whatever. I'll step back. They break up, probably because she was resentful. He wasn't doing his share. Well, one guy told me that for sure. Right. And he's like, I just had to fail. When I yelled at my kids, I had to fix it. Right. When I, like, the kids are screaming because I couldn't get dinner on the table, like, I just have to figure it out. And if that is how you grow as a parent, and we have to fix this. We have to let dads be dads.
Hey, Divorce and Beyond listeners. I've got a quick but exciting update for you. I'm so excited to say that the podcast is now available on Audible. Yes, where you listen to all your ebooks, you can now also listen to your Divorce and Beyond episodes. And to celebrate, we've got a special offer for you. You get 1 month free of Audible Plus. So to take advantage of that, just go to the show notes. Or even better, we have on the website an entire page of books that were written by all our many experts. You can go to the divorceandbeyondpod.com website, go to Beyond Reading, and you're going to find all the books that have been written by our experts. Books like Christina McGee's Parenting Apart and Bill Eddy's Biff and Splitting. So whatever the book is, go find it there, download Audible, and we know that sometimes you don't want a hard copy book on display for everyone to see. So whether it's for privacy or convenience, you can listen to the books and the podcasts all in one place on Audible. So take advantage of this fantastic offer. Keep your journey of learning and empowerment going privately and conveniently. Go to divorceandbeyondpod.com and go to Beyond Reading. Stay tuned for more from activist and author Emma Thompson on her groundbreaking work in advancing the cause of equal parenting as the best solution for families and kids in divorce and separation.
Child support, it's a number, right? We know what the schedule is. There's a number. So you know if you won or you lost, right? You know if it's fair or not. But this is how human relationships are. Like, you can't measure your connection with your kids. You don't really know how they're turning out. It's like, it's always TBD. It's never finite, right? So we obsess over the things we can measure, and we lose track of the larger picture often.
If you are enjoying this episode, be sure to check out last week's show with Marcia Jacobson, author of The Wrong Calamity, to hear her top tips for thriving through and beyond your divorce that have been taken from her own two very different experiences of divorce.
After each divorce, one thing that was the same is I did need to regain my footing. I had to find myself confidence again. I basically had to learn how to live comfortably with my new life.
And now we return to today's show.
This is a conversation, I will tell you, that I have had with mothers who were clients for years as a divorce attorney, right? Where similar to the he doesn't rinse the dish soap off properly, or he sometimes gives them cereal for dinner, or, you know, the list of things that I would get. And it's very, as you just said, I think it's really important for people to hear this. You have to understand. I had a judge once say in open court to a mom who had an argument like that on the stand, she said, "He can learn. He's not an idiot. Is he an idiot? No, he's not, right?" This was the conversation the judge was having with my client on the stand. But then, you know, the other thing the judge said is, look, we have to step back and let our children fail so that they can succeed in life. Because if you cushion everything for them their whole lives, they're going to be, you know, they're going to have a very hard time succeeding because life is not like that. Same thing. You have to give your co-parent the grace of failing, and you need to give that to each other. And I think that's a really important factor here, is that perfection is never going to happen. And frankly, moms, we're not 100% perfect either.
No, dads bring so much to the table. They have a different way of doing it, and we're not always going to agree, but everyone misses out when that is not embraced. I mean, just, you know, anthropologically, biologically, men bring different things to parenting that women do. And we need both of those. And there's arguments that parenting has been feminized. And, you know, you want to point to all the ailments in society. There's people that can draw that back to this trend. I'm not sure where I stand on that, but that's, I think it's pretty compelling discussion. But the other thing is like, let's reconcile what you and I are talking about, Susan, with this hyper helicopter parenting trend, which is being proven to be a disaster, right? Those kids, right, they need to just go out and play in traffic. That's it. Like, we have got to stop trying to micro engineer these perfect childhoods and perfect people and just let these kids have alone time, scrape up their knees, have fights with their friends, flunk a test. Like, we have to stop controlling them, because guess what, moms? When you do that, you free up that relationship, right? Because there's a zillion, right now you have a zillion points where he can fail, right? If everything is supposed to be like this, well, then every single rule is going to be broken, right? So there's so many fewer things to fight about, one. And two, it just frees you up. Like, what if you don't have to think about all those rules anymore? And you're just like, your kids are playing this week at your house and they're playing that week at his house, and you can do whatever you want. You can go date, go to the gym, listening to Susan's podcast, whatever, right? There, it's a much freer way to build your business, build your career that maybe was wandering before, and like, get on with it already.
Yeah, live your life. And it's not just for your children. You have so much that you can give your children by being fully you. And sometimes fully you means not 100% of the time having to be their on-duty parent.
And that's the thing too. It's like, it's the hours, you know, we understand like those hours and what that signals to everybody in that family, what the 50-50 is, including a signal to the mom. Like, you're welcome. You're free. You don't have to be the dominant parent. Right. Or also you don't get to be, you know, it's both. It's like, it's a gift of freedom. And there's a lot, right? You've had this identity for a long time, and that can be very hard. And I don't want to dismiss that. But the hours, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, not just in the context of divorce, but just politics in general. Like, here's the thing with schedules or like child support. It's a number, right? You know what the schedule is. There's a number. So you know if you won or you lost, right? You know if it's fair or not. Or, if, you know, if there's a number on the table about the money coming. Wait, it's fine. But that's not how human relationships are. Like, that's not, you can't measure your connection with your kids. You don't really know how they're turning out. Right. Like, it's always TBD. It's never finite. Right. So we obsess over the things we can measure, and we lose track of the larger picture often.
Yeah. I think that's really critically important for people to understand, right? There is no absolute. I say this all the time. Like, if family law, people are always saying, I want what I'm entitled to. And I'm like, oh my God, well, if family law was so black and white that we knew what you were entitled to, lawyers would have no job, right? Because it would just be very clear what you're entitled to because the law is black and white. And there's nothing about being a parent, being a family, continuing your life process through this marriage, relationship, divorce, and life beyond that is black and white. So I think it's important. Something else that you said here was that spirit of 50-50. You're not taking an X-Acto knife and cutting your children down the middle, nor their time, mm-hmm. right? Although there need to be some boundaries and some understanding of how time is shared, but you are not talking about down to the minute, taking out the calculator and figuring that out, are you?
It's so stupid. Like, I'm just talking about this. So it was like, somebody was like, they were bickering because like one parent took the kids on like I think they were visiting grandparents. It was like 5 hours out of the other parent's weekend or whatever. And like, they wanted to be paid back. And I'm like, my kids are teenagers.
I want my time back.
My kids are teenagers. Makeup time. Like 5 hours. Like, I don't see them for days, even when they're at my house. Like, what is that? And it's not like that all the hours you're spending together are like playing cards and talking about their great grandparents on the farm and deeply connecting. It's like, it's life, and there's probably going to be fights. Good. Yeah. Here's five more hours of fights. You're welcome. Have a good time. Right.
You definitely have teenagers. Well, and even, Bella Duncan was on my show. She's 24 now, but she wrote about her experience as a child of divorce and parents with an acrimonious divorce. And she said one of the biggest things was because her parents were so invested in her time that it was exhausting for her as a child to go back and forth between homes, because she'd get there and she'd just want to go to her room and talk to her friends on, you know, Snapchat or whatever. And yet it was, oh, mom's got all these things planned, or dad, you know, wants to just hear about my whole week the minute I get there. So that investment in your children's time and that feeling that you need to be on with them all the time is actually taking something away from them.
That's interesting, because it makes it about the parents, right? And their identity wrapped up in their parenthood. Both of them. Yeah.
That's an undercurrent of everything that we're talking about here, right? Parents' identities are to a large degree tied up in that identity as their parent, and especially for moms, but for dads as well. What drives dads so much in this particular area of the divorce process is fear. That fear of being marginalized, that fear of being removed from their children's lives, all of those fears. So a lot of that is the undercurrent here. So I just want people to understand that you're not talking about nor advocating for like this very, very strict, in fact, adherence to a very strict type of schedule here. You're talking about, I love the term, the spirit of 50-50.
You know, it's just like, you know, I'm active in this advocacy world of, you know, I'm very interested in making this a cultural norm. Less than I think the policy work is so hard. And I'm always interested. I'm really, at the end of the day, I'm a marketer. You know, how do we market this issue? And it's, you know, it's easy. It's like, yeah, we do week on, week off. We do 50-50. What else? You get it. Well, we do 45-55. Well, why? Oh, guess what's coming next? 30 minutes of your bullshit drama that nobody at the soccer game sideline wants to listen to. Shut up.
But you've told it 10 times at least.
No, 1,000 times. And no one wants to hear it. We just do week on, week off. Right? Like, just because that's what civilized people do.
It's actually one of the easiest schedules for kids, right? Because it has the least number of transitions.
Yeah, that's the thing. Really, and that's a common question, which is like, oh, isn't it too much for kids when they're little? Or I think it gets harder when they're older to go back and forth. And I will say, that I can say first, that is very common I hear from parents. And in my family, I can tell you, it is a drag to go back and forth, and that never ends. It is just a drag, and we can't pretend that it isn't. We can do things to mitigate it, you know, get all the stuff, like just ease that transition.
Have two in every household.
Yeah. But it's a drag. And so if we can make those as few as possible, and I forget what the numbers are, I have in my book here, but it's like, if you do the every other weekend, Wednesday night ends up being like in 130 day, you know, 4 weeks, it's like, I forget, like 15 back and forth. versus if it's week on, week off, it's like my house, like my kids on Friday are going to go to their dad's. They're going to go to school on Friday from my house and be picked up by their dad afterwards. So it's really like, you know, three transitions in the month, right? And if people are worried about seeing their ex, they kind of never have to see them, you know, unless it's a band concert, because it just happens at school or the daycare, or whatever you're up to. So it just makes things easy. I'm all about making things simple, right? 50-50 is a lot easier than 35, 70, 65. I can't even do the math. See how complicated it is? I need a calculator.
I have been in a conference room at a courthouse with a calendar, like shading in different colors so that,
we're too
I
don't old to want color. To think about it. We're adults. Yet. We don't color anymore.
Yeah. It was, the good old days. I don't do that anymore. But, well, one thing I don't want to leave without talking about, you kind of alluded to it, but because this is really the most important part. What does the research say about the benefit to children? Why are they happier and healthier in this particular paradigm?
Because they benefit from having a relationship with both of their parents. And it's not just that they are building that relationship in those hours. They know intellectually that both of their parents are committed to them by way of what the schedule says.
Right. They know right there, you know, don't think your children, by the way, don't know what the schedule says or don't know what your children know everything. They draw inferences from this. And I will say another thing that I think is really key. I talked about it in the episode with Ellen Bruno when we were talking about her second film, the follow-up to Split. It's called Split the Teen Years. And she interviewed one of the girls that was talking and who said her entire childhood was shaded by that makeup time concept except she was the one who felt in charge of making sure both parents got their fair share of her time. And so she felt like her entire childhood, she's now a young adult, was colored by her doing sort of a pie chart in her mind about which parent got enough time with her and did she need to go spend more time with her other parent.
Right. And both those stories that you're telling me, it's like, it's an adultification of a child. It's the children then feeling they need to take care of their parents' needs. And that's, exactly. We don't want to do that.
And I'm sure her parents didn't intend it, but the situation that they set up put her in that position where she felt that. So just by saying mom and dad or mom and dad and dad, I do want to point out, you know, we've sort of stayed with gender stereotypes here and because they tend to be the most talked about and studied, by the way. Mm-hmm. But this is true when you have two parents of any sex, right? I mean, this is, you still do tend to have a primary parent in a relationship and a breadwinning parent. We do see that paradigm more often. And children benefit when they have that ongoing equal relationship and opportunity to form those relationships with both their parents.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have a caveat in my book because a lot of my book is really looking at the, you know, gender equality is kind of like, I don't know, the vehicle I take through this, I approach this issue from, and I really had to face my own feminism and challenge a lot of assumptions I had. So, you know, I'm like, look, you know, we're going to look, you know, I'm going to speak in very gender typical terms because for all those reasons, also to make it easier to read, be annoying if every single reference is like, or for queer families, but, but it's true. And I mean, the reality is, a lot of about this topic, I would say is settled science. And we are in a revolution. We are in a time of change when, you know, I'm so heartened by younger parents that just do 50-50. They just get it. They don't understand why I had to write a book about it. They think I'm an idiot. They misunderstand and think it is the law in their state because so many of their peers do that. So I am so hopeful for the future, but then, you know, that's not everybody. And certainly older folks, you know, putting myself in that camp and my contemporaries, a lot of understanding to do. You know, we were raised in a different world. Our understanding about science and child development and gender is wrong, right? Yeah. It's just wrong. And we need to be humble. You know, I had to go through that too. It's hard.
Yeah. Well, that, and that's a good point to throw in here. You've mentioned it, but right. Like you've been through this process, mm-hmm. like dealt with this and are on a shared equal parenting schedule now yourselves. And so you've actually experienced some of those, you know, just the internal struggle that some of this can bring about, both as a mother and a co-parent.
Go away. There's stuff I still struggle with. I still am like, you know, the schedule is equal, but I still do more emotional labor. And I would like to be gracious about if I'm pissed. Yeah. I am, you know, it doesn't, it's never, we're humans. We're messy, messy, messy humans raising messy humans. And, you know, that's all the more reason we need to be kind and gentle and fair with each other.
To the extent we can. Well, I encourage everyone to go out, get the book. I will, of course, as always, have a link to the book in the show notes. You know, we've only really been able to hit on a tiny bit of the research and the thought that Emma has put into this. It's really an opus on where we stand today, where we've come from, and where we are hopefully going for the benefit of families, and most importantly for children going forward. It really, when it comes down to it, one of the things I'm personally most passionate about, and I know most of you listening are, is really doing what we can to make sure that the divorce process, the separation process, whatever that is, has the least impact on our kids. And, you know, this is going to be one of those things. So gives me hope as well for when you say that you're seeing younger generations doing this already. Why'd you have to write a book?
Yes.
I love it. Let's make your book obsolete. That was what we would like to see everyone. So
yeah, that's great. Put us out of a job. It would be great if we like work our way out of our jobs.
I do everything I can to get divorce attorneys put out of a job. My colleagues do not like me. They're like, why are you always telling people that don't go hire a divorce attorney as the first professional? Guys, I'm not saying that you don't need one, but they are not the only person. And you know, your typical adversarial divorce is not the way to do it. It is just not. Mm-hmm. It is not. And so is the same with your parenting. So thank you so much for joining me, but really for doing this. I know this was a life's work for you. I know this is a passion of yours. And I know, I mean, it's clear. Right, I wrote a testimonial for it, right? It's clear when you read this book, folks, the love, care, and true just desire to support change went into this. And you're at the forefront of this movement. So
So generous. That's a beautiful testimony. So thank you. Thank you. And you're doing the work too. We're colleagues in this work. Thank you.
One of these days, we're going to effectuate change.
We are.
One podcast at a time.
I don't know about me personally or whatever, but change is afoot and it takes all the stitches. People need to hear from, you know, they are going to resonate with different messages from different people and it's happening. It's a hopeful day.
I agree. Everyone, we just had that episode with Erin Levine talking about, you know, the changes that she's been making with Hello Divorce. Now you can have a Hello Divorce, which is not your mama's or your grandma's divorce. And same with this. So thank you so much, Emma. I really appreciate your coming on the show and sharing with my listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today on the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I hope you found some information and inspiration to help you on this journey. Please join me every Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for a new episode. And if you like the show, please take the time to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also find more information on the website at divorceandbeyondpod.com, where you'll find links to the YouTube channel, transcripts of the episodes, and other bonus content. So I'll see you next week to help you move through your divorce and beyond.